Please turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Please follow as I read Psalm 90, verse 1 to verse 17. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thy anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thy anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. Satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and let Thy glory unto Thy children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I thank your pastor and the session for this privilege where I can share with you from God's word. The topic is taken from verse 12, teach us to number our days. We live in a society where we are reminded the importance of numbering our years. And so we have financial planners, and I have nothing against financial planners, telling us that if you want to maintain your present lifestyle, you must build up your reserves. And this is how much you need if you are to send your sons or daughters to the university. To maintain this present lifestyle, you need this nest egg, and so you better start saving and build up a sizable reserve. This is the calculation, this is the formula, taking into consideration inflation and many other worldwide factors, like the rise in oil, the stability of the economy and the countries, and so on and so forth. And so we are reminded the importance of numbering our years. And then with our monthly salary, we are also reminded to number our months. How important is our month? Spend according to your monthly salary. How much do you earn? We are entering into another month in a few days' time. And so there is no problem for many of us to plan in terms of years and to plan in terms of months. We have been geared in that direction by the world. And so when we plan in terms of our years, we build reserves, and these reserves become untouchable. So much so that even when the Spirit of God prompts us to give toward the building fund, we fight against the prompting of the Holy Spirit because we have been programmed to think according to our years. We can't let go. If I let go, then who will look after my family? Who will care for me in my evening years? Assuming that you will live 70 years. By reason of strength, add another 10 more years. Assuming that the Lord has not returned. There's so many assumptions that are not beyond man's calculation. They're definitely beyond man's calculation. We cannot take them into consideration. And yet, we take stock on the words of man more than the word of God. When we think in terms of month, it's the same. We are so burdened by our monthly size problems. They are so huge. If we were to think in terms of months, we will collapse. Surely, we will collapse. By the mercy and the grace of God, I have to speak at 5 camps. Starting at the end of May. Followed immediately by Pandan. Then True Life. Then the YF retreat. Taking into consideration the combined youth conference. And then after that, Sydney. And we were to think, if I were to think in terms of month, I would collapse. Because I don't know how I'm going to prepare. And all camps, all different messages. I don't know how I'm going to start. I don't know how it will all end up. One day at a time. And then when you think one day at a time, you realize that the entire problem that you have to contend with is reduced to one manageable size, a bite size, one day. That's why there is so much wisdom in this verse, in this prayer of Moses. Teach us to number our days, not number our months, which is the world's philosophy. And we have been so caught up by the world's philosophy since young. We have ingrained into our children to think in terms of months, because we think in terms of months. And because we think in terms of months and the problems become so large, so huge, we enter into depression. We can't cope. We fear, we become very frightened, and we can't sleep, and some of us take sleeping pills. But if we think in terms of day, plan, okay, what must I do to make sure that all these messages are to be completed in time? What must I do today? What little bite size must I do today to finish that work? And so we plan our program within one day. And when we consider one day's program, one day's problem, you realize every one of us can manage it by the grace and the mercies of God. And immediately, instantaneously, the burden, the stress and the problem is removed. Instantaneously. Leave the rest of the 29 days unto the Lord. Deal with today. I'm not sure whether I'm going to live past today anyway. So why worry? Think one day. And this was the prayer of Moses. Out of all the 150 Psalms, he wrote only one. This was it. And this verse will teach us to number our days because it is so difficult. Literally, it means this. To number our days make us to know. That's what it means. Of course, if you translate it like this in English, it's very clumsy. And so the King James translators did it correctly by rephrasing it and make it very smooth reading in English. So teach us to number our days. Very easy to remember. But in the literal clumsy translation, it means make us to know. And it's in the imperative. It's as if Moses is praying to God. Lord, it is so hard and so difficult to live one day at a time. So difficult. Force me, in other words, make me to know, force me to understand, to know and to embrace this, to practice this in my life. Force me to do it. Do we force ourselves to live one day at a time? What do you have for the rest of this week? For some students, maybe the exam. Because vacation time is coming up, and so always before vacation, there will be exams. For some of you, you will have exams for the whole week. 5 days, 4 days, whatever the days may be. Now, if you think of one whole week of exams, you don't know where to start and you become very panicky. One day at a time. What do you have? You plan it. How much time do you have left? How many subjects do you have to study? You plan. One day, what must I do today? Don't try to study everything. 4 days of exam in one day. Bring it down to a sizable reality. Study. For those who are working, you have big projects, you have designs, you have whatever projects, programs, one day at a time. Today is the Lord's Day. Set everything aside that belongs to the world, commit it to the Lord. Focus your entire heart and mind on the Lord and Lord's people and the Lord's service on the Lord's Day. Monday to Saturday, pray and ask the Lord to help you live one day at a time. Very difficult, yes. Moses himself admitted it. And Moses was looking after 2 million over people in the wilderness. And he understands our struggle better than any one of us. better than any one of us. 2 million people. If he were to consider the problems of 2 million people, he would have collapsed long ago. And he understood how difficult, how hard it is, especially when they have to wander in the wilderness. And he understood how rebellious and how problematic the people were. And he was all alone with some helpers. And later on you'll find in his own life, his own older brother and sister rebelled against him, challenged his leadership. No end of struggle, no end of problems. And so he understood how difficult it is, and that's why he prayed, make me to know. Make me to know, to number my days. That was his prayer, and that must be our prayer. And he gave us three reasons. For when we have this understanding, then we will apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because if we don't, we are going to waste our lives away. He gave us three arguments, three reasons why it is so important to pray and ask God to force me, if necessary, to number my days. Three reasons. The first you find in verse 1 to verse 6. His argument is that life is transient. Please don't think that God stamped on your birth cert. Everyone born in this church will have 70 years and 10. And if they follow their mummies and daddy's advice and pop him all the vitamin pills, add another 10 more years. Any of you got that stamp on your birth cert? You better go back and check. None of us have been given that stamp. Life is transient. That means our life is in God's hands. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. You have been with us all this while. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You are in control. We know that. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. Thou turnest man, singular, return ye children of men, plural. The singular is a Hebrew word which refers to the frailty of men. The plural refers to Adam, simply male and female, men. Men, mankind in general. The first one highlights the frailty of man. You turn the frailty of man to destruction. Is that not true? Every illness you suffer is a stark reminder that we are dying. We are growing old. Every illness, whether it is a fever, a flu, or a common cold, the hand, foot, and mouth disease, these are all reminders of the frailty, the weakness of man. Please don't think that you are a superman. Young people don't think about death. Is that not true, young people? When you are young, you always think that I have my life ahead of me. And therefore, young people made a lot of mistakes, a lot of foolish mistakes. And they take unnecessary risks. Many of these young people like to tie a rubber band around their neck and jump down from building. They call it bungee jumping. True, it's just a big size rubber band. It's a foolish thing to do, to put your life at risk for some kind of a thrill. Young people love that. And they think that, well, I have so many years ahead of me, I can waste away a bit of my life doing silly things. How foolish, don't you agree? You think God saved you at a tender age so that you can just tie a rubber band and jump down and see how high you can bounce around in thin air? You think that's why God saved you at that age, for that purpose? How many of us who are saved in our evening years wish that God would have saved us at a younger age that we may have many good years to serve the Lord? Because if God saved us at the age of 40, the earlier years were wasted living a profligate life, a life of sin, a life of debauchery, many of us wish. But it's wishful thinking, as you know. But for you young people, you are saved for a purpose. No accident. Don't waste it away and indulge in the fashion of the world, thinking that, well, you have your whole life ahead of you. This past week, I'm sure many of us have read of this young girl, Deborah Cole. She never realized that when she walked out of that home, exactly 7 days from today, 3:40 p.m., playing around with a friend and throwing the bag around, he went into the canal. All four of them climbed down. still fooling around, still fun, because the water was only ankle deep. And then it started raining, and they hid underneath one of the walkways that bridge across this deep canal, thinking that they will not get wet. It was raining. Never realized that a big torrential wave would come and swept them away, and one of them died. And that girl was from my daughter's school. She was in Sec 2. My daughter showed me a picture of her. Last year, this was the school magazine. Last year, she was standing there together with her class. And this year, she will not be there anymore. 14 years old. My wife and my son, they were at home after church. And that canal, we can see from my living room. If she were to look down from the living room into that canal, full of water, they would probably see the body float by. And last Sunday after service, evening service, quite a number of us went for dinner, and they found a lot of police and a lot of people were there, a lot of commotion. They wondered why. And then next morning, they read in the papers, they understood why. It was very near Pandan. Near Pandan Reservoir, the body was swept all the way right into the sea. 14 years old. Many things that she did, she never realized that it would have been her last. The last day of school, that Monday, that Friday. Last hug, last kiss from parents. And the sad part was when the reporters interview her classmate. What do you think of her? Do not know who the classmate was. The classmate said, well, she was a girl who did not have to study her English much, and she seems to do pretty well. What a very, very sad summary from a friend of her life. Nothing about her character. Nothing about whether she did anything that was worthwhile. She didn't have to study much for English and she did pretty well. That was it. That was it. The frailty of life. Don't think that your life and my life is in our own hands. We are not the captain of our own destiny. We fool ourselves. Life is transient. Thou turnest man to destruction, and God said, return, ye children of men. I give you life, and God can any time demand, return, come back to me. I take your life back. Time's up. It can happen to any one of us. Every parent, don't take for granted that you are going to see your child every morning they go out to school. Don't take it for granted. Every day you come back home. Family worship, you thank God that the Lord brought every child back home and all of you are together as a family. And you thank God for that. And the next morning you do the same. You pray with the children before they go out. You thank God that all of them come back home safe. And pray that they will bear a good witness for the Lord. Life is transient. One day God may just simply say, return, ye children of men. That's it. And He's not going to ask us for permission. He's not going to ask us, are you ready? You and I better be ready anytime, every time. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. God looked at time differently from us. You and I think that, oh, I have so many more years ahead of me. No problem. I am only 15. I'm only 16. 60 years and 10. I did a bit of multiplication and subtraction and so on and so forth. Oh, I have at least 5 decades. Oh, that's 50 years. That's a long time. You ask those who are above 50. And you ask them whether it's a long time or not. You ask them. You think really it's a very long time? For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth away. How many illustrations do you want from the Lord to remind us of the frailty of life? If we are surrounded by illustrations. Not too long ago, my wife and I went to IKEA to buy some flower pots. And there at the entrance, you know, as you enter on the left-hand side, there will be a room for children where parents will deposit their children. And there are a lot of balls, tiny balls there where they can slide down and they can have a fun time. Right? Those who have been to IKEA. So when I walk by, I'm in my 50s. I look at the children playing there and immediately it reminded me of the time when my children were that age and they were playing in that room with all the little, tiny little balls. Don't know whether they are the same boss. I hope they wash them. Right? Many decades ago. Right? 20, 30 years ago. I hope they wash them. 20 years ago. Nearly 20 years ago. Then to make matters worse, I noticed this grandpa looking at the grandchild. Then I thought to myself, as I walked past this grandpa, if the Lord tarries, will it be one day where I stand there like a grandpa and then my grandchildren will be there? What happened to the years? And my own children were that age. And now I am watching my children's children at that age. Where did all the years go? What happened? And somebody looked at my life and they were interviewed. What would they say? Oh, he didn't have to study much. What would they say of your life and my life? But that's not that important, isn't it? Because the important thing is, what do you think God will say? If God were to look at your life and my life, how would God summarize it? You study the Bible and you find God mentioned the lives of certain individuals. Some of them are given more chapters. Some of them are only a chapter. Others maybe just a couple of verses and that's it. How would God summarize your life and my life? At this point in time, sit back and consider the frailty of life. If God were to call us tonight, how will God summarize your life and my life? Will it be a life of regret? Because we have been wasting our life. We think that we have a whole life ahead of us and we have not done anything for the Lord. We have failed to realize that life is frail. Very frail indeed. It's like in the morning the plant comes up, so bright, so beautiful. In the morning is a description of a young child, a youth. And in the evening it talks about the life of a man, an old man. And then very soon it's gone. That's it. That's it. Life is frail. Do you think life is frail? That must put some kind of a fear and a consideration into our hearts to truly ask the Lord, teach me, O Lord, to number my days, to value the day that you have given to me. Every day, precious. Please don't think that you're going to have tomorrow. This day is precious. How will you spend this day? Many or some of you will be planning to go tracting. What about the rest of us? How will we spend this day? Because one day we will have to give an account to the Lord. Don't assume that you're going to have next Sunday. Don't assume that you're going to have Monday. How will you spend today? If we have spent today faithfully serving the Lord, encouraging one another, and then tomorrow we do the same. And the next day we do the same. And before we know it's one entire week I have been living for Christ. And if we continue to do it, it will be one entire month living for Christ. And if we do it faithfully, one entire year I have lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all begins with the focus of one day. One sizable, chewable day. One day. And all of us can do. You don't need to have a doctorate degree. Just one day. And all of us have been given the same number of hours. No difference. And all of us can serve the Lord faithfully in that one day. What do you plan to do today? It is said that some people think that honoring the Lord is just merely coming to church in the morning, give the Lord my 2 hours, give my tithe and our offering, and that's about it. We don't care about the midweek prayer meeting. We don't care about the fellowship groups. We just care about myself. What is convenient for me, I will do. What is not convenient for me, I will not do. Because I have my life ahead of me. I do what I want. You don't do what you want. Your life is in God's hand. I mean, God says, return. Your life is like a flower. Your life is like a vapor. Some of us are not even in the morning year. Now many of us are already in the evening years. And you young people, you may be in your evening years without realizing it. Because you don't count evening and morning the way that you normally count evening and morning. Evening could be any time for any one of us. Don't take it for granted. Life is transient. Value today as the minutes tick by. value it. What do you plan to do after this? Have your lunch and then what? How many of you plan to attend sunset gospel hour? How many of you plan to attend next week graduation? Sure, we make plans. By all means, spend it well. Make plans, but spend one day at a time fulfilling and doing that plan. Don't waste your minutes, your day, because every minute wasted, every day wasted will not come back to you. And all you have is just a day of regret if it is not lived for the Lord. Live it well. Second argument from Moses, the man of God. Life is full of sin. If you and I are not circumspect, are not careful, we are going to waste a living in sin. Because life is full of sin. Verse 7 to 11. For we are consumed by God's anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Why? Because thou hast set, God has set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. God knows your sin, God knows my sin, public and private. Verse 8 tells us. He knows all our sins. He knows all the skeletons in our closet. If you have any secret sin, deal with your sin. Because if you don't deal with your sin, it will be very difficult for you to live one day at a time serving the Lord. Because that sin will continue to haunt you. It will be like a big giant ball dragging, slowing you down. And you cannot serve the Lord. Deal with your sin. Because life is transient and life is full of sins. You know it, I know it. Young people, you watch out. Watch out for the fashion of the world. They want to conform you to the image of the world, and the world is controlled by the prince of this world, and that is Satan. They want you to think like the world. You have to fight against all these worldly philosophies. You're going to be bombarded left, right, and center. And how many young people have fallen? Fallen by the wayside. You turn into the papers and then you read. Young people, what were they doing 3, 4 a.m. in the morning? Yesterday's papers, right? I believe. Or the day before that. One big picture of a young boy in the hospital, his face all bloated up, bashed up in ICU. 4 a.m. in the morning. A group of them were going home after some kind of fling. And then a gang of about 16 youth all dressed in black and came upon them and attacked them. The question, what were they doing in the wee hours of the morning? They should have been at home. They should have been asleep. Will he live? Will he die? He's in ICU now. All beaten up. For what? Well, because that's an in thing to do for many young people. For many entrepreneurs, you go overseas, you commit sin, and you think God doesn't know, you think your wife doesn't know, and everything is okay. The church doesn't know. God knows. God says, God has set our iniquities before Him. Our secret sins are in the light of His countenance. We can't hide from Him. He knows. Whether you are in Timbuktu or whether you are on top of Mount Everest, He knows exactly what you are doing. He knows before you do. He knows what you are going to do before you do it. That's our God. You can't hide from Him. Deal with your sins. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years like a tale that is told. Like someone just giving us a quick summary of our lives. Dr. Toh showed me the summary of the message that he had to give on the homegoing service of his partner, Dr. Jung, Friday morning. 3 pages. A lot of words, but that would be it. That was it. 3 pages to describe a man who lived from 1933 to 2007. Just 3 pages. Summary of his entire life in the military service, how he was a partner, how he was a good husband, a good father. That's it. 3 pages. If somebody were to be given the privilege of saying your eulogy, how many pages? How many pages? Like a tale that is told, a life that is gone so far, so quickly, transient
and full of sin. Deal with your sin. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. Is that not true? And if by reason of strength, you can enlarge it, extend it for 10 more years, 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. Whatever we live, it's labor and sorrow, adversity, sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and then we fly away. We vanish away. That's the phrase here. Who knoweth the power of thy anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. God is angry, and God will deal with us. The man who knows his best is none other than Moses, who wrote this hymn, this psalm, this prayer. 600,000 of them, more than that, was numbered in Numbers chapters 1, 2, and 3. And by the close of the 40 years of wilderness wandering, all 600,000 of them died in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua. And then he had to number a new generation in the closing chapters of the book of Numbers. That's why it's called the book of Numbers. Two numbering. And the new generation also slightly over 600,000. And they were the ones that God will call Joshua to lead them into the promised land. That generation perished in the wilderness. Moses did not write for us this psalm, this prayer, out of some theological head without experience. He wrote out of what he had seen and tasted in the wilderness. He saw with his own eyes the wrath of God toward those who remain in sin. Those who rebelled against him, those who refused to repent, despite the grace and the mercies of God in their lives, despite the goodness of God in providing them with food without working, manna day and night. They have it. Clothing, shoes that will never wear out. God's presence was with them. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, to be there to lead them and to guide them despite all these things. With the tabernacle, with the Levitical priesthood, with the word of God, the Ten Commandments, they sinned. And they tasted the wrath of God. It was a life full of sin and they paid for it. They paid for it. Learn from the mistakes of others that we may not repeat them. Know that your life and my life is precious because it is transient. Don't waste it away. Because what you and I do right now will impact eternity. That's how precious it is. Husbands and wives, you quarrel, you do not want to talk to one another, make up. It's time to make up. Forgive one another because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every minute you refuse to talk to one another, refuse to make up, it is a minute wasted. And all you have is regret. Regret. Learn from the mistakes of others. It's less painful. It's far better. That's why it is recorded for us. And your life and my life is full of sin. And so watch out. If you do not live a life that is according to scriptures, you're going to live a life of sin. Young people like to tattoo themselves nowadays. And you know what tattoo is like. Once you tattoo your body, you can't get it out. To get it out, it's more painful than the tattoo itself. That's what they say in the newspaper. Painful. And sin is like that. You indulge in sin, it's going to get into you and it's going to stay there. It's going to stay there. Many young people visit pornography sites. It's impressed into your mind because it enters into your eye gate. And how to erase it from your mind? You shut down all the computer, it's ready in your mind. You go to RA movies and you think nobody knows it's safe. It's not safe. It is a life full of sin out there. You walk along Orchard Road, and this is so close to Orchard Road, and you see how they brandish all their wonderful goods and tell you that this is what success is. To accumulate all these things is success. That's a big fat lie. But young people bought into it. Old people also buy into it. Life is full of sin, and if we do not bring our life down into one day size, and ask the Lord to help us manage it and to live circumspectly one day at a time, we are going to fall. We are going to fall. All of us, without exception, we are going to fall. That's why there is so much wisdom when Moses prayed this prayer. In the imperative, It's as if he is begging God, make me to know, to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom, that I may live and plan wisely, because life is frail, life is transient, life is full of sin. But if we live circumspectly with wisdom, his third argument is life can be very blessed. Verse 12 to 17, life can be very blessed. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How? Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? And let me repent thee concerning thy servants. Satisfy us early. That means have pity on us. Have pity on us, O Lord. Now we want to change. We want to live a life that counts for the Lord. We want to change. And the Lord will have pity on us. That's the meaning of the word repent. Have pity on us concerning all of God's servants, God's children. And satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. It can be blessed if only we come back to the Lord, if we spend one day at a time for the Lord. For young people, you have many more days. According to God's grace and mercy, it is never too late. Never too, as long as there is breath in this body, it is never, never too late to start right now. And ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Make me to know the importance of numbering my day, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Would you make this prayer? Your life can be very blessed. Very blessed indeed. If it is a life of sin, repent. And the Lord's pity, the Lord's mercy will be upon you, that you may rejoice and be glad all the rest of your days. Make us glad, verse 15, according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Just as we have been afflicted for so many years, give us the same number of years of gladness, of joy, and of thy goodness. And the years wherein we have seen evil, give back us those same number of years where we can have thy goodness, thy mercies. Jesus says, if you come to me, if you know me, your life will be an abundant life. A life that will not be dependent upon the economy of the world and the circumstances that we are in. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. Let the work of God begin to perform its good work in your life and in my life. Think godly thoughts, think pure thoughts. Go to places where it will only bring glory to Christ. Stay away from sin, stay away from angry people, from sinful people that will lead you down the path of destruction. Have the courage to be different, young people. When you do business, adults, make sure your guiding principle would be the Word of God. Don't follow the way of the world. There are so many examples in the Word of God that can instruct us. Some people say that it is so difficult for Christians to be politicians. You heard that before? It's so difficult. Yes, it may be difficult, but not impossible. The only two characters in the Bible that God never recorded any sin, any weakness, they were politicians. Joseph and Daniel. Do you realize that? Both of them politicians, right up there. Second most powerful man in Egypt, Joseph. Any recorded weakness? None. Daniel, a young man who purposed in his heart never to defile himself, and he kept that promise for the next 70 years of his life and ministry. Again, right up there, right next to Nebuchadnezzar. Difficult but never impossible, because our God is the God of the impossible. And if God can do that to man in that kind of difficult situation, He can help any and every one of us. If only we were to repent, if we were to understand and accept that our life is in God's hand, and so don't waste it. Cherish every moment that you have. At home, be a godly spouse, be a godly son, a godly daughter. In your school, in your workplace, wherever the Lord sends you forth as His child, live for Him one day at a time. If you are a student, be the best student. That's what we pray for our children every day. That they will be a good witness and testimony for the Lord. When they come home, we ask them, how has your day been? How has your day been? Then the next day, same thing. That they will bear a good witness and testimony. And then the next evening, same thing. Ask them, how has your day been? And we pray and thank God that the Lord has seen us through another day. Another day. Don't take things for granted. That's our problem. We live in prosperous Singapore and we think that everything is so rosy and our life is so good, healthy, wealthy and strong. Every Wednesday night, I have this Bible study with a group of people from the Methodist Church. We have been studying the Bible for nearly two over years now. We have finished the book of James. We have finished the book of Genesis. Now we just entered into the Sermon in the Mount. The home of this group, the man has been on dialysis for 10 over years. And the average lifespan of a dialysis patient in Singapore is about 5 years. For a man like him, he says every time we go to the dialysis center, three times, for him, four times a week, we can die any time. Because many of the patients who were there yesterday or last week, they died this week. For him, every day is precious. Literally, every day is precious. And there was another family who came to know Christ because his son, who was in primary four then, one of the top few students in the school, suddenly came back home and there was a brain vessel in his head that broke, snapped. And he went to a coma, and while he was in a coma, Christians came and shared with them the gospel and they came to know the Lord. And then he prayed one prayer, the Father, Lord, if it be your will, bring my son out of coma that he may call me Father one more time. Call me Dad. And this family had been coming to the Bible study and have seen the change and the transformation in their life. They live in Bishan. And the Bible study is held on the western side of Singapore. And they will come. They will take about 15-20 minutes just to get out of the car because the son now is in a wheelchair. He's grown up now. He's bigger than the father. He's in his 17, 18 years old. He is able to read, he's able to think, but he has lost his motor skill. He's in a wheelchair. 15 minutes to come out of the car, 15 minutes to get back. Rain or shine, they will come for Bible study. And whenever I ask them anything to pray for, to thank God for, it has been a good week. There was only two seizures this time, and they were very minor. Every day when the son did not suffer from seizure, they thank God. They thank God. We take things for granted because we are healthy. Everything seems to go so smoothly. We are less thankful than these families. Because they live in a situation whereby every moment of peace and tranquility in the home, precious. They don't take things for granted the way we do. We take many, many things for granted. I remember when we were in America, we could afford only a 13-year-old car, so we bought a 13-year-old car. By the time we finished, it was 16 years old. Every day I remember, thank God that the car did not break down. And there was one time when we finished our studies in Gray Seminary and we have to bring all our barang-barang together with Dr. Koo's barang-barang all the way to Pennsylvania. And so we rented a U-Haul and then tied behind this car of ours, this big monster, Buick, 5,000cc. $950. By the time we sold it, we got back $400. By the time we drove there, I was so scared, so nervous, because we got to climb up mountains to get there. And by the time we got there, the whole exhaust pipe, pong, fell onto the ground. Thank God that it fell off when we arrived there. It had fallen off somewhere in the middle or somewhere in the mountain. We are not AA members or anything. We'll be in trouble. Every night, thank God the car did not break down. Every night, thank God the car did not break down. And in Singapore, our cars never break down. So I don't thank God every night. I take for granted the car is fine, the car is new, the car goes for servicing, the car is this, the car is that. And that's our life, isn't it? We take so many things for granted. So many things. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Is this your heart's desire? That was Moses. He saw thousands of his own people dying. He understood the transient nature of life and he shared with us. He understood the danger of living a life of sin. and he shared it with us. Because the wrath of God will be upon us. Doesn't matter whether you are a child of God or not. All the more so because we are God's children, we need to live a life without sin. If we know there is a sin in my life, we must deal with it. And he urged us, encouraged us. Life can be joyous. Life can be a blessed life. If you live it according to God's word. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. One day at a time. Serving the Lord. Would this be your cry, your prayer this morning? Whatever is past is past. Don't cry over spilt milk, as they say. But whatever days that the Lord has given to us, pray and cry to the Lord. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Because life is transient. Life is full of sin. And I want a life that is blessed by Thee, O Lord. Establish the work of my hands, your hands. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Help us, O Lord, to realize that our lives are in Thy hands, and every day that we live unto self and not unto Christ is a wasted day. How many of such days we have wasted, O Lord, we know we cannot bring them back. Forgive us, O Lord, for wasting those days away, especially after we have already known Thee as our Lord and our Savior. And with this life, O Lord, we do not know how many days we have ahead of us. But we know that our number of days are in Thy hands. And we pray, Father, that Thou will grant to us the same wisdom You have given to Moses, to cry unto Thee, to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We live in a world that is wicked. We live in a world that desires to see us fall into sin and to remain in sin. But we, as Thy blood-bought children, desire, O Lord, to live a life that is full of grace, full of Thy peace, Thy mercy. And help us, O Lord, that we may truly live for our Savior one day at a time. Teach us. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. In close.